Yeah. Uh-huh. Listen up. Yeah. I can see you're new to this. You ain't got no job. You ain't got no experience. You're entry level. You ain't got no qualifications, baby. You're entry level. Your entry level. Your entry level, baby. Your entry level. Ooh, yeah.
Get the groceries you need or a backup meal from your favorite local restaurant delivered with DoorDash. For a limited time, you can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code Brooks. That's 25% off, up to a $10 value, and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app and enter code Brooks. Subject to change, terms apply. Yo, welcome to this week's episode of Entry Level. We're in Washington, D.C. We're flying back to Los Angeles. She's here. She's my friend, Summer Sakula.
Hi.
What's up, dude?
Yo.
We have had a full holiday.
That's right.
So last week's first week, we didn't get an episode out, but I felt like everybody was on. Everyone was chilling. It's okay. It's acceptable. That's what I'm telling myself. Because
yeah, you needed a break.
Yeah, well, it wasn't a break. What happened was I turned my show in to Fox, and then I thought that was it. Not it. They had notes. And that's good. It's better than no. So we worked through up till the 24th. Mm-hmm. And then you and I were going to do the Trans Catalina Trail.
That's right.
And you're a very cool girlfriend. And I was like, yo, dude, I actually have to keep writing my TV show.
Yep.
So we postponed. We didn't do the full Trans Catalina Trail.
Mm-hmm. Just shortened it up a little bit.
Shorten it up. Yeah. And I will tell listeners where we went. Summer is very good at telling me to stop geotagging where I go on Instagram.
Yes.
Because why?
It like blows places up, and then people just go to like get an Instagram photo, and I just don't think it's good for a lot of these remote places, and it like kind of just, I don't know, it like shortcuts a lot of it. And I think like in Montana, the best spots we found were because we ended up just talking to people, and I just think that's cool. And I think Instagram kind of shortchanges all of us.
I agree. That's why I stopped doing it. So if I take a cool photo somewhere, I say it's blank, blank, blank. Like for our photos on the Trans Catalina Trail, I said Channel Islands, yep. Vague, different. Up in Montana, I said Montana. But if you listen to this podcast, you're cool. I will tell you, go to Bowman Lake in Montana. It's incredible. It's not filled. You're listening to Entry Level. So if I run into you there, great. Okay.
But also, just shh.
Yeah, don't tell anybody about it unless they listen to Entry Level. Then you can tell them about it. Bowman Lake ruled. We went, no reservations, which I feel like the reservation system has ruined our national parks, because people don't go and you can't go. And I don't know where I'm going to be next week. I don't know where I'm going to be this weekend. That's fun. That's what camping's about. Okay.
Yeah.
So Bowman Lake in Montana, Glacier National Park, it's in the national park. Go there. And what I'm getting back to is for our Catalina trip that we went to. You think Catalina, you think Step Brothers, you think, you know, the Catalina wine mixer. Avalon is this town where like bachelorette parties are and wine spots. Fuck that spot. Two Harbors.
Yeah.
Two Harbors is the coolest little town ever. 80 people live there.
Yep.
It's 1 hour from Los Angeles on a boat. That, guess what? That boat ride is pretty fun. And you go, and you go to Two Harbors, you drop off, and then we backpack to Parsons Landing.
Yeah.
And on the way, I also want to talk about this. I saw a rainbow, and I asked Summer if she also grew up being told rainbows were God's promise not to flood the earth.
Yeah. You said it so matter-of-factly, like, did you hear this? And I was just like, what?
Not did you hear this. Were you told this?
Yeah.
And did you repeat that to other people? At school.
It was the craziest thing I've ever heard. I that's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Well, I tried to do some stand-up on it because we've been in D.C. now. We did 10 shows with John Oliver. And I brought it up, and I would say there was, you know, it was like 2,500 people per show. And I only did it at one of the shows, and I don't know why I didn't keep doing it. It was just, you know, I don't, you get 15 minutes and you open for John because he's the best, and he's, you know, working on his own shit. But I would say 10 people out of 2,500 were like, yeah. Yeah, what's the, yeah.
What do you mean?
So it is a thing. I think it's a, but you grew up Catholic.
Yeah.
So did I.
I don't know, man.
I don't know either then. Because then, whatever.
But I also like to never flood the earth again is what you said.
And yeah,
I
was it's like, God's promise to never flood the earth again.
But until when? Then he needs another rain. But is he just like reinforcing, or it's only good per storm, never? I don't know. Man.
Yeah, good one per storm. That being said, I will say you told me a batshit crazy story.
I have no idea what you're about to say.
Well, it's about you being little and being lied to as well about your teeth.
Oh, yeah.
You want to explain the story real quick?
No, I don't know, man.
Come on. You just, okay, tell.
I got sick a lot when I was little.
We were on a walk, and Summer tells me this in the same way I told you the rainbow story.
It's just an this is just an example of me being dumb, but that's fine.
Rainbow. Go ahead, though.
So I got sick a lot when I was little, and I got this like crazy flu, and I have like these like faint lines across my teeth and my that are like more white than my teeth. And my parents told me that it was when I got this flu that like was my temperature got so high that it ate the enamel off my teeth. And I've believed that my entire life.
Yes. You're an adult woman.
And then Brooks said.
And then I said, you would have lost those teeth. Those were baby teeth.
Correct. And it hadn't ever occurred to me.
This is like yesterday.
I was deeply like, upsetting.
You walked around your whole life thinking my body got so hot it ate my teeth. And that is so funny to me.
I almost died, but instead I just burned some of my teeth
off. Your body burned your teeth is what you thought. As an adult woman, it's incredible. So we had Christmas at Parsons Landing.
That's fine. I'll just call my dad on speakerphone later and...
Oh, yeah, please.
Figure it out.
I would love that. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait because he will deny it. He'll be like, we never told you that.
He won't know, and my mom would know, but she's no longer with us, so... Mm-hmm. It'll just remain a mystery, so fuck off.
All right, okay, all right. Way to bring your dead mom into this.
That's all I had.
Okay.
Thanks, Brooks. I'm gonna...
What? I just... We were one for one.
Carry on.
Okay. So, we camped at Parsons Landing, had the best freaking time. We walked back to Two Harbors, like 16 miles round trip, backpacking. So fucking fun. First time I've ever truly backpacked. Yeah. And I loved it.
Super fun.
I had buffalo's milk at the bar on Christmas, which is just like vodka and cream.
And banana liqueur. We looked it up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He got a booze milkshake on Christmas Day.
Which in my head, I was like, we'll go backpacking and it'll be healthy because we can't, you know, we have to like carry our food and it's fun. And then we get to Two Harbors and they're
you also wanted to eat like two of the dinners the first night. And I was like, Brooks, we're literally rationing. Like, literally. If you eat all of the food today, that's okay. That's okay. But you have less tomorrow.
Yeah, we wouldn't have a dinner tomorrow. You could have two dinners tonight or one dinner each night. Or two dinners zero and zero dinners. And I said, you're probably right. And camping, like on December 24th, the sun goes down at around 3:15. Mm-hmm. And we were asleep by 7.
That's great.
It is great. Yes. Okay. So we do that. Very fun.
But surprise, Brooks found a bar that was open.
An 80-person town on Christmas had a bar open. So naturally, I'm like, well, shit.
Gotta go check this
Got
out.
Lit on buffalo's milk at the Two Harbors Bar.
Yeah, and I went to the bathroom and...
I'd bought the guy next to us a shot and me and offered the bartender. And he's like, what? No, there's five people in here. I don't want to be here, you know.
Yeah.
The guy next to us was a virologist. Which was interesting. He worked at the San Diego Zoo. Shout out. I think his name was Steve. I don't remember. Steve. Yep. He ruled. On a backpacking trip, you run into other people who are interesting.
Yeah.
And he was backpacking by himself, and he was very cool and filled with knowledge about
PhD and like.
PhD in viruses.
Yeah.
So we just asked him about COVID, and he told us it's a hoax invented by the Democrats to get rid of Donald Trump. And that's a PhD talking right there. No, so he just was like, yeah, no, it sucks. And then we get back, we have to fly straight to DC to do these 10 shows with John. Mm-hmm. And we're told the first night, Joe Biden's coming.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Guess what? That bitch didn't show. Bullshit.
Yeah.
Because I told Summer, we went out to eat at Fiola Mare, which was very fun, like a cool restaurant. When you look it up, it's like Joe Biden was here without a mask on. And I'm like, well, if he's going there, it's probably pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're there and you're like, it'd probably be weird to wait on the president to serve the president. And I was indignant that I wouldn't give a shit because I don't respect him and I don't care. I'm coming across like a crazy right-wing person over here. I just think that Joe Biden's a Republican is my problem with him. But I very much, you know, yes, you listen to this podcast, you understand my fucking political beliefs. Okay, so I'm like, I wouldn't be nervous at all. And then they tell us at the Kennedy Center, hey, I think the president's coming. And I go, whoa. And I got so nervous to do stand up in front of the president.
And I was like, so you have to do your Biden jokes. And you're like, I don't know.
Yeah, I just talk about how much I love Bernie a lot on stage. Not a lot.
And what a snooze Biden is.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not a bad joke. It's
no,
like,
yeah.
It's more aimed at Trump, but. Yeah, you were buckling.
I buckled immediately. It was an immediate comeuppance.
Yeah.
And then we did 10 shows. John sold out 10 shows at the Kennedy Center. This dude fucking rocks.
Sell out. Sold out 10 shows.
So fun. We got to get tested each day, which that's a fun 15 minutes while you wait.
Yeah, especially when the headlines are like Washington, D.C. is the current epicenter of.
I'm declaring COVID's over. We're done. This is an entry level exclusive. Live your life. Be nice. Wear a mask if someone asks you to. Wear a mask if you feel like you need to.
Wait, just wear a mask.
Yeah, if you want to.
What?
If not when you're alone.
Yeah, if you're
into public, yeah, wear a goddamn mask. But I'm not going to say mask all the time. Don't jog and wear a mask. Do what you want. Do what you want and what you're supposed to do. But other than that, COVID's done, baby. We did it.
Oh, my God.
Mission accomplished. Summer doesn't like that she's now. You get canceled somehow for this podcast?
I do?
Yeah. Right. You're associated. Oh, God. I just declared COVID over.
Just by knowing you, I get canceled?
You're on the podcast.
Yeah.
Favorite part about DC, Summer?
I don't know, walking around and seeing all the national monuments. That was super cool.
It was very fun.
Weather's a little different than Los Angeles. We got hit with some rain and some gray skies, but it was beautiful and, you know, some fun food and good sights and,
And you got to meet John for the first time. Jeremy is our tour manager who we've met before. He rules. But you got to hang out with John, which was super. He's just the nicest, chillest, most fun dude.
He's just the nicest person ever.
Who I will not bother to ask to be on this podcast because he actually pays me appropriately. And I am not going to be like, and why don't you do me another favor?
Do me a solid, bud.
He's already doing me a pretty big solid.
No.
I'm pretty busy with my show. I just don't bring it up. I don't want to ask him to do it.
Good.
I know. I thought about yesterday. I was scream singing.
Oh my God.
Don't Stop Believing by Journey on a piano at the Kennedy Center. And I almost went and got John to come over to be in a video of me screaming the song. Don't Stop Believing.
And I walked out because you were so loud and grating, and I walked by security and they were like, you had enough? And I'm like, I've had enough.
What? That makes me sound awful. It was only once. I did it once. And bottom line, I did not ask John. I go, this is how you stop being asked to open for him. If I was like, hey, can you come be in my bit.
My Instagram bit that you took down immediately.
Yeah, I posted. I go, oh boy, yeah. Had 2 seconds. Yikesy, Mikesy.
I don't know. Anybody that listens to you sing will understand where we're all coming from.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. But it was very fun. And now we're headed back. One more week of working on my show, my Fox show. We got another week of rewrites. And then we turn it in. And that's very fun.
Yeah.
And then I think I'm going to move to the woods for a while.
Yeah.
Summer, you're invited.
Thanks.
And anyone who listens is also invited. No listener mail this week because it was just a fun week of recaps. 2 weeks of recaps. And 2022, obviously, is going to work great. Each year, we're like, glad that year's done. This one's going to work. And, you know, that's been going on, I think, since the beginning of time. Probably since one, they were like, can you believe zero? Wow, this is a solid bit I should have wrote a few days ago. Two's going to do it for it. God damn it. This joke works, but only yesterday. Only New Year's Eve. Fuck. Write it down for next New Year's. Got it. Shit. I'm mad that I just thought of this joke. Okay. All right. But hey, guess who we got this week?
Who do you have?
Mike Burns.
Yes.
Who is my old roommate and the creator of Dad Boner that you were a fan of before we even met.
Yeah. Yeah. I had been hearing the legend of Dad Boner. I had some buds who were like absolutely obsessed with it. And nobody knew who it was. And nobody knew if this was real or not. And it was just like, this is they all thought it was the funniest thing they'd ever seen in their life.
It was, and it was, he was my roommate when it was going on.
Yeah.
And then you were like, you know, Dad Boner? I'm like, Burns. Yeah.
Yeah.
The original co-host of this pod. You're doing Burns' job. You are Dad Boner.
V2.
Wait, what?
V2.
V2, Dad Boner. Yeah.
I'm V2.
Yeah. You're version 2. You do great. Everyone's also email at nickjturner@gmail.com and let him know you like Summer more as a co-host.
Oh my God.
It will upset him. I'm playing him in fantasy football for $40 for third place in our league right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very fun. Unless I lose. Fuck that. But enjoy this interview with Mike Burns. It's great catching up with him. He's in Michigan right now. He's so funny. He's so goddamn funny. Most of all, not just have a great week. Have a great fucking year. You got back-to-back meetings, errands to run, and chores to take care of. What's the secret to clearing your to-do list? A little help from DoorDash. You can get dinner, household essentials, and everything on your grocery list delivered. Get what you want to eat right now and right to your door with DoorDash. With over 300,000 partners, you can support your neighborhood go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Popeyes, Chipotle, and Cheesecake Factory. I'm in Washington, D.C. right now. I honestly just used DoorDash to get Potbelly sandwiches delivered to me. It was not available on the other apps. It wasn't. DoorDash had it. I got Potbellies to my room. It was great. Then I fell asleep after I ate it. It was awesome. Big shout out to DoorDash for bringing Potbellies to my hotel room. So, guys, for a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code Brooks. That's 25% off, up to a $10 value, and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code Brooks. That's my name, Brooks. Don't forget, that's code Brooks for 25% off your first order with DoorDash. Subject to change, terms apply.
Yo, welcome to this week's episode of Entry Level. I'm in Washington, D.C. He's in Michigan, Mike Burns.
Woo, oh boy. We're both in weird places that are cold. Well, not for you. It doesn't look that cold in D.C., isn't it?
No, it's pretty dope. It's like 50. It's solid. It's nice. It's a treat. I'm eating bagel sandwiches. You're having Jimmy John's, though, you were saying. You were late to the meeting for Jimmy John's.
I went to the gym because I've been slacking. And we all know that my mental state is severely affected by a lack of exercise when I'm supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
So today was the day. It was like, you're going to start getting the old darkness if you don't get your ass in the car and go to the and trudge through the ice and go to the gym and then eat a nice quality Jimmy John's turkey Tom sandwich.
I mean,
now I feel great.
That sounds good. I'm doing shows right now, and we did shows last night, and then went out with Jeremy French, who's our tour manager, and we got drunk and went to bed at like 3, and I woke up this morning and I was like, all right, Drunko, you got to run 9 miles now. So I went and I ran 9 miles, and right. 6 miles in, I was like, this is a huge fucking mistake, but I did it. I feel good. Working out is tough, especially in this weird bizarro between Christmas and New Year's time.
Yeah, I went, I decided I was just going to give myself all this time off from like, you know, like the 22nd or whatever until after New Year's. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't make it. I started to crack. I could feel the concrete cracking. I was like, this is a dangerous zone that you're getting into. You got to go fix things.
All right. So for this episode, I'm just catching up with Burns. For anybody who doesn't know, Mike Burns, original co-host of the pod, is currently on a sabbatical in Michigan. And we do some, an occasional Patreon episode, but this is a full, we're getting the Burns year in review, of everything, fantasy football, what's going on in Michigan, just some, you know, all the maniacs you're hanging out with. So Burns, how was Michigan for Christmas? What's going on in Saginaw? What do they do for their holidays?
I haven't been back for a long time because it's always so expensive to fly from LA to Michigan.
And then you got to drive in the winter. It's so hard to fly in and out of the fucking Midwest. It's impossible.
Right. It's a nightmare and it costs a ton of money. So it's like, why am I paying a ton of money for everything to be a living hell?
Yeah, no, it's work. It's like, it's one thing to get on a plane for a vacation or to fly to be paid for stand-up. It's another thing to lose money to have to go to a cold, dark place.
Right. With people you love, but don't necessarily always like.
Yeah, it's not chill. We don't hang out and slam beers and watch TV. We just kind of look at each other.
Right. Well, I did slam a bunch of beers because it's the only way to deal. And I love the fam. I do. But there was a certain, we had like 3 different Christmases because my aunt and uncle go to Florida. And so we had to do one with them before they left. And then we had one with my sister's family, which is a ton of little kids. Mm-hmm. And then one with just my parents. And by the end, I was like, I can't do anymore. I can't do anymore. These kids, guess what, Brooks? Kids never stop screaming. They never stop. And it's not like bloody murder. It's yelling and my ears feel like they were filled with wax paper, just like kazoos at the end. Just like everyone needs to leave Uncle Mike alone for a little bit. And that's when I just start sneaking shots. Like I'm drinking beers, but I start every time I go to get a beer, I take just a little splashy splash of JMO. And I'm like, I got to medicate through this because it's too much.
That's a secret. You shouldn't say that into a podcast. Whenever I go home, my family doesn't drink or my parents don't. And my mom, that's like, mom was like, you don't need a drink. And I'm like, this is when I need to, when I'm hanging out with all you guys. But that being said, my brother, when I went back to Iowa, you'll like this, Brad got himself a PS5, real early when the PS5s came out, and then he had to fly out, but I didn't fly out till 5, and I sat in his basement. And I played the new Spider-Man alone for like 5 hours. It was so fucking fun. It's incredible. PS5 rules. Turns out I love video games and I forgot it.
Yeah. I love video games too. That's why I don't have them.
Yeah, that's all I'll do. Okay, so what does Saginaw have, like any traditional like Christmas parades or what?
They do. They light up some of the government buildings that has always been done since I was a little kid.
Okay,
and really, other than that, I mean, you know what I really love, and I genuinely do love this. I drive around the different neighborhoods, you know, like a. going to like a nice neighborhood with the doctors live, mm-hmm. and it's all decked out with all the lights. And I just put on like some real chill tunes and just drive like 15 miles an hour. And just, I guess as a little kid, I hated that. I hated going on.
Yeah. You don't want to go look at lights when you're fucking little and your parents make you. It's a nightmare.
Worst. But as by myself, delight. Just a delight. Yeah, you get away from everyone. You don't talk to anyone. Can't look at my phone. It's just so pleasurable and so underrated.
Well, we can also make this episode a reflection on the Berendo apartment that we both lived in together. Because I'm moving out. It's the end of an era. You and I moved there together in 2015, I think. 2016.
Wow, what happened?
Dude, and so let's just talk about our time living there, because we moved there in 2016, and I think both of us thought, I'm going to be here 1 month. That was 5 years ago. Yeah. I'm still there.
I mean, it's tough to move in LA. Like, I shacked up, and then that set on fire, and I left. And
well, so let's go through the timeline of us moving to our house in Berendo. So it's 2015. I'm engaged. You have a girlfriend. And man, did everything get rocked. So I go to Florida. I'm living in Silver Lake. I go to Florida to shoot this movie that I did. And then you stayed for free because you were thrown out of your place. Or you just had to get out. You needed a place to stay.
I was subletting the Carl Hess manor.
Oh, yeah. You were in the fucking hostel that Carl Hess runs.
And it was fine for a little bit.
So many people have lived there.
Yeah, so many people have lived there, but it started to get dark. I felt like there was a darkness looming.
Yeah.
And I remember we were out with one of the roomies who's a questionable figure, and I went to bed and I wanted some sleep, and they stayed up all night doing poppers. If you know what poppers are, they're some sort of drug that relaxes your b-holes so you can do sex things, but it was just dudes that weren't going to do sex things to each other's b-holes. And I'm like, what are you doing? And they're screaming at all times, and the doors are never locked. And
I'll give listeners a little insight to Carl's. Carl lives in the street in Los Angeles called Everett. We call it the Everett Mansion. And he has the best view of anybody in Los Angeles. His room is $500 a month total. And he then rents out these other.
And his room is pimped. He has his own private bathroom. It's pristine. Yeah. There's a bar cart.
He rents out the other six rooms to nefarious characters. Like, right now, one of the roommates, I go, what's going on with, I won't say his name. And Carl's like, we haven't seen him in a month. We think he's in rehab. Like, that's the sort of, they just like vanish. That roommate got super addicted to what their new thing. And I'm not speaking for Carl. I'm just saying that house's new thing is whippets. They go through whippets like crazy.
Oh no, really? That's what's happening?
One of the roommates holed himself in his room and did 500 whippets one day. Like, it's crazy.
That's just, that's you get driven to madness in that place.
No,
it's like Carl's room is such a bat cave sanctuary where he can just disappear for days at a time and enjoy himself. I lived there for a month and a half. And I never saw the girl that lived two doors down from me in a very small hallway, ever. Ever. There was no other way to get in or out for her. I never saw her.
Dude, the funniest thing in the world is Nick Turner and Lyra lived there for a month. They lasted like 20 days.
Together with a dog.
Together with a dog.
A married couple.
It was crazy. Which you would think Carl, Turner, Lyra, Greg would be like really fun to go visit that house. It's not fun to visit that house.
It was fun to sit out on the porch when the pop man of Monday Night Beers fame would be kicking it there. That was a good time, but it always turned a little dark. I always liked to leave. I always like to leave around like 9:30 or so, because the clientele was going to change.
Right. So I go to Florida, but my ex like still like had a key to my apartment, key to our old apartment. I made her move out.
Not Berendo, your
other apartment. Yeah. And so I was like, Burns, you can stay for free in this apartment for all month. Just don't let her in, because I'm mad.
And so you ultimate paranoia had set in.
You lived in that apartment for a month, and it was a one bedroom, and it was like 20. It was like $2,500 for a one bedroom. It's too much money.
So dumb.
Well, yeah, it's fine if you're splitting it. But then, so then you and I are like, all right, we'll go live together for like a second while we, you know, figure out shit. And we find this great two bedroom apartment from this awesome guy named Mario. Barry Rothbart lives above us, and we move in there. And there's this big window on this, like a giant window that goes straight into the living room of the apartment. And we didn't put a curtain up for 2 years.
No, it was very wide open.
Tear into our apartment from the street for 2 years. It was crazy.
I, in retrospect, made a lot of questionable decisions, went on a lot of dates in front of that window that I just figured, well, I don't know. You can't see in probably. It was like an aquarium to watch random hookups happen.
You texted me one time. One of my favorite stories is you went to True Romance at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. And then you did Quaaludes with a strange couple and then brought them back to the apartment and texted me, don't come home. And I didn't. And
my mind likes to block that story out as much as possible.
Oh man, and then you live there. It's super fun, and you know, we're like, we pitch a show and it doesn't go, and that was great for our egos. We wrote, oh my god, we can talk about the Kid Rock movie we wrote that is now like, we used to ironically enjoy Kid Rock, and now that's gone. We can't even pretend to like him.
Right, but here's the thing. I think at some point there's money to be had. If you don't want to put your name on it, that's fine. But I need a paycheck. So if like Adam Carolla wants to produce this, or
we wrote a movie called Chillin' the Most. It's 128 pages, and it's about two kids who have to go from Detroit to Miami to get on Kid Rock's cruise to stop mm-hmm. their girlfriends from sucking Kid Rock's dick. We wrote
they were going to do it.
we wrote it. And that we did that at that apartment. And it was, you know, that was its own adventure.
It's really, really fun.
Like, now that I know how to write better, like, you know, now that this whole fucking Fox show is teaching me how to write good, I would love to take another pass at it. And we just change Kid Rock to like, I don't know, Justin Timberlake or somebody that won't get us canceled.
I think it's not hard to do that. I think you could swap out the guy and then make like the characters more diverse. The characters were diverse though. I think you just have to make it, you know, not chicks gonna suck some guy's dick.
It's the most 2015 script of all time.
Yeah, you could make it. Yeah, it would have been fabulous in like 2009.
Yeah, I mean, it was super bad-esque. We also involved your basically we wrote, so Mike is the guy who writes Dad Boner. We basically just put Carl from your Twitter into this movie as their buddy who went to high school with Kid Rock. I forgot. Holy shit. I forgot that this whole scene from the fucking script we wrote, Kid Rock doesn't like him because he charged people to come. And so in our script, the guy Davis went to high school with Kid Rock and he's scared of him because he blamed Kid Rock because Davis had rented out a house to let people see a dead body. Wasn't that? people were going in to see a dead body at this house. Then he was charging them, and then he blamed Kid Rock. But he's
Davis is like a bizarro world ultra evil dad boner.
He's a really bad guy. Super bad guy. Oh my gosh. Wow, I forgot all about the Stever. I just remembered that there's a character in it named the Stever whose arm breaks in the opening scene. And then throughout the movie, his cast gets just ruined and ruined and ruined and ruined. At one point at the gathering of the Juggalos, Davis jizzes onto it.
Yeah, and then also Lincoln Hawk, played by Sylvester Stallone sex with his cast.
I forgot that we wrote in the movie, we have Lincoln Hawk, who's a fictional character, as a real person that they ride in a truck with. This movie's funny, dude. I forgot how funny this was.
It's super funny. You forget how many, it's packed. Every single scene is absolute chaos and hilarious.
Fingers get chopped off. Oh man, that was fun. So we wrote that there when we also pitched our show. That was
which if you know you've listened to this program or any other comedy programs, you understand that it took like a year to write and pitch that show, which we put so much effort into.
Yeah. It was called Doom Mates. It was the opposite of My Name Is Earl. I still like this pitch. It was the opposite of My Name Is Earl, where two guys become friends. It was going to be me and H. John Benjamin become, well, he's my old boss and I get fired. And then I feel bad, so I let him sleep on my couch. And then we realize we need to right every wrong that's ever happened to us in our lives. And so we write out everything everyone's ever done wrong to us on our wall, not on a piece of paper, on our wall. And each episode is about us getting exact revenge, not like mean revenge. We just want to get exactly what happened to us back to even. And they're two huge pieces of shit.
And they fail terribly every time. Yeah. They always think they won, but they never do.
At the end of the first season, what happens is H. John Benjamin finds out that I got him fired, and we come to the conclusion that to be even, he gets to shoot me with a gun, but in the arm. This was a universal no to every network. I'm like, what are you doing? This is so fun.
There was interest. People loved it. It's one of those things. I tried to explain to someone in Michigan the other day how this works. We were watching some film, and it was like, look, you go in there, and they love it, and they genuinely do. Like, you can tell. You can tell if someone's like, this is hilarious. But, like, what but? What do you mean but? You love it. Just make it. Give us some money and make the show and put it on Hulu.
I was literally every show. So like, we're like finding out pretty soon if we're going to shoot the Fox pilot, and every show that's on TV, I just go to Summer. I was like, well, if that's on, why can't me? Like, it's just right. Like that got on. Then give me.
Because it all comes down to like, did the guy who makes the decision, like, did his wife yell at him for not taking out the trash that day or something? And he's in a bad mood and he's like, yeah. Like, what do we need to do about this script, boss? We gotta, you know, are we gonna make the pilot or not? He's like, I don't care, don't make it, fuck him. And then what? And then your dreams are shattered because
that's everywhere except for the nice, wonderful staff at Fox. They make very calculated and wise decisions, and they'll make.
I did have nice experiences with the people at Fox. I've had very nice meetings there.
Okay, so we're living. So I just want to run back through like. What else we had happen at the place? You at one point have your girlfriend move in. There's three of us.
Well, yeah, we had gotten to a point where it was like, she was over all the time. And it made more monetary sense for people like us who are struggling to sell TV shows with no employment to have a little extra scratch.
Great.
Yeah, and then we eventually, it got so chaotic because living as a couple with a single man, who was rock and roll to the balls.
We share one bathroom.
Yeah. And I'm a OCD neat freak. And it was just too much. And it became a strain on the relationship, and I had to get out because we had a good opportunity to move somewhere else. So then I go off and you stay. And then, you know, things inevitably fall apart for me once again. COVID, then COVID happens. Can you imagine if we were all in there during COVID? What kind of Thunderdome, Oz type prison scenario that would have turned into? Like,
I mean, I spent a lot of COVID just driving in my car across the Western United States. But yeah, it would have been a nightmare.
Because you and I genuinely like to hang out and have a good time. Mm-hmm. And both of us are very encouraging for the other one.
Oh, yeah. Like, you open a beer. If he's having one.
Right.
I
can't count on my fingers how many times, like, Brooks, I'm not drinking this week. I got shit to do. I got to, like, chill out. And then half an hour later, you're slamming beers. I'm like talking my face off, like, let's put on Always Sunny 45 times. Like, well, I need to drink to deal with this. I can't just sit here and chill out. And then all of a sudden we're on the lawn blasting Lynyrd Skynyrd and screaming at the neighbor. It just would go 0 to 60 so quickly.
I went down to the CVS. I bought a little pool. We put it in our front lawn and we would just sit there with our feet in the pool, just the most white trash you can be, and just slam beers and just, you know, stare, watch the street. We were basically LA East Side King of the Hill. That's what we were. The intro to King of the Hill was our front yard for like 2 years.
Right.
And then we're also like, I don't understand why nothing's working out for us. It's like, well, you guys are crushing beers on the lawn all day.
Right. But I mean, you know, when things aren't going so well, sometimes crushing beers on the lawn all day is the only thing that's going to satiate your brain that's melting from being so beaten down.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go through, like, so I currently have the best roommate I've ever had.
Which is rude to me.
No, it's insane because you know why and this is how it happened. Like, me and last girlfriend broke up and I was like, oh, I can afford this place alone. No, nope. So I couldn't find somebody who needed a roommate. I put it up on Craigslist straight up. I was like, hey, here's this room, blah, blah, blah. This dude shows up. It sounds like a scam. I'm about to leave to go on like a tour or something. This dude shows up in a Sprinter van he's living in.
I should preface this with, like, I could have moved back in.
Yeah, I thought about it. It would have been great. But
so, no, but maybe not.
Well, wouldn't have been great. No, because this guy turns out to be great. His name's Zach. He's from Perth. And he pulls up in a Sprinter van. He's like, yo, can I move in, like, tonight? And Summer was like, what? Like, she was like, you should do a background, like, you know, like, check out. And he's like, sent me his, like, LinkedIn. And it was legit. I was like, sure, you know, I'm going to be gone. Like, don't rob me. And he was like, no, we're good. Then he says to me, he's like, how about I give you a deposit? Just, you know, as a, you know, like, it was his idea. And I was like, okay. He lived there like 5 months now. The reason he's such a good roommate is we don't really hang out and he's super clean, but he's still fun. And like, there's been multiple times where I'm going to the Greek and then I find out right before I leave, he's also going to that concert.
Right.
So we just walk up together. It's super fun.
There's no crossover of good time relationship at all times.
It's a complete business relationship and it's great. It's fantastic. Who was you famously lived? You lived with Mike Bridenstine and Mike Holmes on their couch in Filipino town, mm-hmm. where you were stabbed.
Yes.
You want to get that on that?
I mean, that was a horrible situation that I was in when that happened. I had moved in and then I had to live on their love seat for
what's it even a full couch?
No, I had a good foot and a half where my tootsies hung over the edge. Never had a pillow, never had a proper pillow. I had one flat throw pillow and some dirty blanket. Like
This is where we all hung out all of the time. It was such a small apartment.
It was tiny. In retrospect, it was a box.
Yeah.
In the same size apartment downstairs, 8 people lived in. We could never wrap our brains around, like, how does this work? Do they sleep standing up? Like, so I lived there for a short time period. I get into a nice relationship and we get an apartment. And then she loses her mind, starts cheating on me with a guy at work. I find out, and guess who moves back onto the love seat? For now, it's been raised to $250 a month.
You had to pay $250 a month to live on the couch.
I mean, that's basically free in Los Angeles. That's things get really dark, and that's when I get stabbed, which really was the cherry on top of how my life was going at the time. As if everything wasn't a complete disaster, the universe or Jesus or whoever you want to blame sent down some gangbangers to stab me a few times in the back.
Stabbed in the back because you were on a nice date with the lady and they tried to mug you.
And nice date, nice girl. Still think about her.
You tried to fight back a little bit and they said, no, 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 stab, stab, stab.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Then, didn't you go, you fucking stabbed me? How did you respond? It like pretty crazy.
Yeah, I felt my back got all hot. I reached around and it was wet. I go, oh my, you fucking stab for what? For what? I have nothing. I took my money clip and threw it on the ground. I go, here, my code's this. There's nothing in that checking. I don't know what to tell you. And then I start, I forget how it ends, but I think I start screaming fire or rape because I had heard that that's because he's not leaving.
It's great to stab someone than to hang out.
And if you this neighborhood, the Rampart Division, if you've ever watched the movie Rampart, it'll make a lot really clear things up for the kind of danger zone that this is.
Yeah,
you guess who doesn't? Nobody's coming out of the house when you scream fire or rape or help. They they don't want to be involved.
Oh, so when do you start writing Dad Boner? Like when does that kick in? What part of the Burns LA saga?
That would be in the previous apartment with the girlfriend who goes sideways in the noggin and starts banging some dude at work. And in retrospect, Dad Boner had started to get a little bit of attention. And I think that was a jealousy based issue where like, you're getting more success than I am. And she worked in the same industry. And I think it was a power play to bang this dude.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, do you want to hear how I find out?
Yeah, of course. It's just the Burns, the Mike Burns sad stories are killing me today.
I don't think I've told this story. There's like, I have to work later. I have to do a show. And the show's over at like 10, and she's going to some PJ party where everyone wears flannel pants and PJs.
I remember I met you for the first time when you're living with this girl at that apartment. I showed up with Holmes and Brido, and you put on a Guns N' Roses concert. And I was like, well, this guy's pretty fucking cool. And then we just like crammed whiskey, watched Guns N' Roses, and went to a party.
It was a rad part. It was a rad apartment too. It was very cool, like beginner apartment. So I leave the show. I hustle home. She's like, yeah, I'll be at this party if you want to show up. Cool. And I don't text her and tell her I'm coming. I'm like, oh, you know, like surprise her. Like, hey, I got out of the show, came right over. I ran home. I put on some Detroit Tigers flannel pants and a Bob Seger t-shirt and some flip-flops and socks, like, you know, PJ type vibes. And I walk into the party and I can't find her anywhere. And then I look over in the corner and she's sitting on some dude's lap in a recliner. I'm like, it just, you know, like that, I forget, Airborne Toxic Event, I think, song where sometime around midnight, I had this heart, my heart sinks, just, you know, I can't believe this is happening. So I sit there for like 2 minutes and I just stare at him. I'm like, I want to fit, what the, I can't wrap my head around what's happening. And then I finally get up and I just go and stand 2 feet in front of her while she's sitting on some dude's lap until she notices. She looks up and she goes, oh, hey. And she stands up and I don't even address her. I look at the guy, I go, we're going outside. So the dude gets the big eyes. He's a bit bigger than me, but he can see the rage in the, and he's a little bit younger. And he flips out and he bolts out the door.
Yeah.
And I speed walk after him. Get the fuck over here.
Michael Myersing.
He runs around the house. Like he's like panicking, running around the house. And he finally gets into a cab. And I'm up on the cab window. I'm like, don't you fuck my girlfriend. He's like, you don't do that. You knew what you were doing. You knew I existed, you piece of shit. And he drove off. And then, you know, I went back to the love seat where I got stabbed.
Okay. So, but like, let's talk about just because the funniest thing ever, how Dad Boner started and why you started it.
I mean, it's a culmination of all these incidents. A lot of it's based on my divorce married from age 27 to 30.
I forget that you were fucking married before all this.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Comedy, doing comedy sometimes leads you down a path where a lot of people are just kind of not going to feel your vibes after a little while. I'm sorry, I took us way off track. We were on to your new roommate.
Well, no, Zach's just great. No, it's just like you were a great roommate, but we hung out too much. You got to get a roommate you don't hang out with.
Yeah, yeah.
So, or you can just be an adult and live alone. But that's
which I do now. Which yeah. I do now. I've learned.
Yeah. Okay. So, but like, just for a quick history, like, how did Dad Boner like explode? How long were you doing your Twitter at Dad Boner before it like? Where you it like hit 10,000 followers? Because it was a slow burn.
Yeah, it takes. It I would say maybe 6 months.
That's not bad.
Not bad, but Twitter was a little more sparse, and it was something that other people didn't do on Twitter at the time.
Right. Yeah. That's true. And then you guys, you came on. So it was a big seek. Nobody knew who did Dad Boner, and it had like 100,000 followers, and nobody. Nobody would take credit for it. And then you did my podcast, probably Science.
And yes.
Andy Wood introed you as like on our pre-intro after you had done it. He's like, this guy, was on Dad Boner. He's Dad Boner. And then that went up and a few people heard it before you like, were like, what the fuck? And I was like, Andy, you got to take that down. That's right. How it like got out that you were doing it.
That was probably one of the first things. Yeah. And then Detective Drew Magari from Deadspin is who really cracks the case for I mean, that guy's a fine writer and all. That's just such a Grinch thing to do. It's just a Grinch thing to kill Santa Claus just because he wanted to. I gotta find out and tell everyone.
Yeah.
That's a narc thing. That's narc behavior.
Who did people think it was? Because people thought it was other people, right?
Oh, a lot of people thought it was Kinane.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, you and Kinane have the same speak because you guys have been friends for fucking 40 years.
Yeah, and also I took that as a compliment. I was like, well, I adore Kyle Kinane. I look up to him.
Yeah, he's the best stand-up comedian in the world. You said one time, like, he doesn't do stand-up. He does fucking, like, poetry. Like, and I agree.
Yeah, it's different. It's, you know, it's a unique style. And I think that's, you know, that's what makes someone. And then there's just pure gunslingers like Burr and Chappelle, even though he's taken a lot of heat, that are, would arguably be bigger time type comics. But
Right.
Kinane. And I haven't seen Kinane perform in a long time.
I shot guns with Kinane in Oregon over during COVID, and that was fun. We shot him in a quarry.
Loud.
Oh no, I saw him go up and he had a big legal notepad and he just had, you know, he grew his hair all out and he opened with some funny joke about how he looks like he's at a town hall meeting with grievances right now. Oh man. And I told this joke last night. I didn't tell it. I explained it to John Oliver that, our friend, Nate Craig has the best joke about COVID. Like, stop doing jokes about COVID. Nate Craig has the best one. Cause he's like, every time I get a COVID test and it comes back negative, it's like every time I get tested for herpes, it's like, really? No way, but okay. You know what I do? Yeah, it's really fun.
That's great.
Yeah. Okay. So Dad Boner Cracks, then you go and you make the Comedy Central pilot. Mm-hmm. Which I also, and I've said this before, but not like on air, I disagreed that you didn't go live action. Why didn't you go live action? You did cartoon.
Didn't have a choice.
To who?
I don't know, to whoever makes decisions. Amazon bought it at first, and then Amazon sat on it and didn't move for months.
I wanted to write for your show that I was positive was going to be. So I wrote an episode of Dad Boner before it was a thing, before you had ever even made the pilot, but I wrote a live action version. And like, that was going to be, I gave it to you as basically like, hey man, you should hire me to write for your show. And
yeah, and that's funny.
I'll put my episode of, I wrote an episode of a television show that you created and was never made, a full middle episode. I'm going to put it on the Patreon because what else am I going to do with it?
Yeah, you should. Yeah. It's super funny.
All right. So the spec script for Dad Boner that I wrote called Super Bowl Fever, which I didn't really write because I just took all your shit and just put it in script form.
Right.
Yeah. But it's super fun.
Yeah, it's great.
And I wrote it as live action.
Right. And I think that there wasn't a lot of stuff in the cartoon that you couldn't have done in live action, you know, like house doesn't blow up or anything.
Right.
But yeah. Amazon does buy it and Amazon drags feet and it goes on for months. And then Comedy Central made a call or agents called Comedy Central, said, do you want this as a cartoon? We're looking for animation. And they wanted it. They were ready to start work and pay for it. And so that's what happened.
Yeah, they didn't pick it up. And as we all know, Comedy Central is rocking now.
I don't even know what they do.
They don't do anything, man. South Park, we were talking about it last night. South Park is not even on Comedy Central anymore. That's when you know Comedy Central is dead. South Park is on Paramount Plus. It's not on Comedy
Right.
Central. Comedy Central.
Right. They go direct to Paramount now. They're like, we're done with you.
It sucks. I love Comedy Central. Like, it's a big bummer.
Yeah. They
fucked up big time, but what are you going to do? I mean, canceling Detroiters? All right, guys, what are we doing?
Right. I have no idea. Netflix killed them. Netflix.
Yeah, but they didn't try. You got to move with it. I don't know. Like,
well, there's that. And I don't understand why Comedy Central couldn't do more smaller comedians, because there's tons of comedians who aren't that popular that would gladly take a small paycheck to do a half hour special.
Yeah. I mean, when I did it, there's like, I don't know, 16 of us. And for a half hour, they paid us $20,000 per comic.
Right.
A half hour of television that we wrote, gave them. And they gave $20,000. That's fucking crazy. Like, how do you go under? How do you go under if that's what's happening?
And cost them nothing to shoot.
Cost them nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Machine gunned them, dude. There was like me and Hampton double taping back to back.
Right. And that $20,000 off the top, manager, 5%. Agent, 5%. We're down to 90% that you get to take then.
No, it's 10 and 10, man. Yeah, for my half hour, I took home $5,300.
Right.
It was crazy.
And that's mind blowing. The amount of money I took home from that whole Dad Boner pilot was somewhere in that ballpark by the end.
Yeah, I started a corporation. I'm the president of my own corporation right now.
Oh, LLC.
Yeah.
Corporation.
I'm like, I gotta stop getting just destroyed. Because what happens in fucking our business is you work all year long to make you get a $50,000 check for something, but you work a year to get that $50,000 check. And what happens
more?
When they give you the $50,000 check, it's taxed like you get that every week. So you're like, oh, this is fucking crazy. So now I am I have a corporation and I am the president of it. And I have my own my own business card. I am still too afraid to use. I haven't used it yet.
I've talked about this on like Patreon episodes for Power Moves. And a lot of people are shocked. Like people don't understand that how you work for a year, year and a half, or like to do a stand-up special that is maybe 4 years of your first stand-up comedy. And then you walk away with $5,000 and you've got to work almost like a full-time person on this and stay up late every night. And it just never, never ends. And then you basically get nothing for it. And you think when you watch TV, well, that person's got their own show on TV. They must be rolling in cash. And then you complain like to your handlers, well, why don't I have any money? And like, well, the real money comes in season 3. So like, what are you talking about? I got to make this show for 3 years.
Yeah, no, this is the show I'm working on right now is the first like time I've worked where I'm like, I'm being compensated fairly. This is incredible.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Turns the out, real show.
Yeah. It's a real show. It's not on Pop. Viacom. Okay. So you have your, you know, COVID breakup, little freak out, drive across the country to Michigan. And you
wonderful experience.
The best. Yeah. You texted me, Darren, that you're like, I get why you do this.
Yeah.
Fun to drive across, just drive alone sometimes, like what, just staying in little towns, camping.
I didn't look at it as something that, like, I have to do this. It was a privilege, I thought,
yeah,
to be able to have a little padded cash and be able to just take all the time. I took 2 weeks to do it. I stopped anywhere I wanted to and hung out and got a nice hotel and drank a bottle of wine and went to Vegas for 2 nights. And it was super COVID-y. You had to wear a mask at all times, even in the non-COVID states, like the non-don't give a shit states were not a thing then. And, but still it was tolerable. And I got to see so much. I got to see the whole country. And whereas opposed, a lot of people drive across from the East Coast to LA and they do it in like 48 hours or they just stay up all night and it's just a nightmare.
I think it's fun as long as you max out at 5 hours of driving a day, max.
Yeah, that's what I did. I would pick a point. I'd pick a city. And sometimes it was 3 because the next decent place to stop that would be safe was like 6 or 7. So I'm like, well, guess it's a 3 hour drive for old Bernsey today.
Yeah, no, it's so fun. Yeah, you wake up, little hop. Yeah, I was like watching your trip, but also you were doing such the Burns trip where you're like, you know, like for me, I'm like, okay, I'm in the woods in Montana. You're like, I'm in St. Louis, baby.
Yeah, kicking it.
Yeah, you're like kicking it outside like the Cardinal Stadium.
Right. I'll see the things I like to see.
Yeah, of course. The Arch, super fun. Oh man, I've been jogging around the National Mall right now, which is just, you know, a bunch of fun. And you'll appreciate this. It's just like a bunch of fun monuments, you know, like you jog past the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Monument, down to the Capitol. It's super fun. And then I was jogging and I never realized where the Vietnam Memorial Wall was. And I was like, oh, cool. I'll jog past that. I got like 10 feet into that before I was like, no, this is way crazy heavy. You don't jog through this. It was fucking nuts, man.
Just get my workout in. Yeah.
No, dude, me and Summer went back and like walked through it and looked at it. But like, there's just like an immediate presence of like, this is not a fuck around spot.
Yeah, this isn't a listening to your Kings of Leon on your headphones. No. Big smile on your face. You're having a good old time getting that cardio in, baby.
It was heavy shit. It was no fun. But we had on your Dad Boner tour when you, so you wrote your book and then we'll wrap it up. You wrote your book. We go on, I'm on SNL. Your book's coming out.
You did the Washington DC show. You should mention that.
That's what I'm coming to. So okay. I'm on SNL. You're on tour promoting your book that you'd written. We are on top of the world. We're both feeling it.
Balling.
You're the only person I know who has sold out a venue, then been kicked out of that venue.
That was Boston. That was in Boston.
Yes. That was at the Great Scott, I think, in Boston. And the power went to your head a little bit. I don't think Burns has ever sold out venues before. The first time selling out venues. And you were enjoying it.
I was so exhausted. And it wasn't the actual venue that I get kicked out of. I do the show. We leave to go to the bar that we were at the night before across the street. Everyone comes in. The problem is while after the show and before the show, people are buying me shots and beers. And I'm probably haven't eaten properly. And I'm with handlers that probably were encouraging, like, yeah, want a drink? We're going to get martinis.
Yeah, it's you, me, Bronger, and Kara. We're all getting loose. Like, Kara's parents were in town. They're, you know, we had like a nice martini dinner at the hotel or some shit.
Yeah, I was so just exhausted and out of my brain. And I needed to go home and rest. Like, I get the darkness, man. And I went to go to the bar we were in afterwards. And the guy was like, man, you're too wasted. You can't come in. I'm like, this is Boston. Talking about this is everyone's complete mess here.
Yeah, that was like a fun little week off I had of SNL to go do stand up and get to be funny, because that was very welcome change from my day job. Okay,
so I leave that place. I'm like, fine, I'll just go back to the hotel bar, have a couple cocktails, and I sit down at the bar. And I'm like, oh, Doers Rocks. And the bartender goes, I don't think so, man. I was like, yeah, you're probably right. Went up to my room, drank the mini bar.
One time I got on a 6 a.m. flight, you know, and I just have a hood up, glasses on, 6 a.m. And the stewardess walks by. It's this dude, flight attendant, and he's like, anything to drink? I was like, can I get two beers? And he was like, how about we go with water, bud? I didn't even find it. I go, all right. I want to go to bed. I'm on a plane.
Right. But you're so mad.
Yeah. I was so mad. He talked down to me. I'm like, stop.
I don't want to be here. Yeah. Let me drink something to not be here.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So you're in Saginaw right now on your brief sabbatical. MAGA country, what's going on up there?
You know, you kind of get used to it, and you learn when to keep open your mouth, and you learn when to not. But I will say that most of the bars that you go to, people will shoot their mouth off, and there will be things on the TV that you don't want to watch. But at the same time, it's very diverse, and people that don't agree with that will also shut them down. And there's no like fighting, like you see, there's this division that has happened. It's nice to see that they lightheartedly joke, because everyone's just kind of in this community together, and there's disagreements, but it never really comes to a blow. No one's gonna burn the bar down or freak out.
Yeah, me and my dad talk shit to each other, but like we both know we're like, I'm not going to change this person's mind. So right. I can openly make fun of, you know, Republicans, and he openly dunks on, oh, dude, you know what I found out? Fucking Biden might come to one of my show. What? Not my show. Biden might come to one of the John Oliver shows. And I was like, that's like the ultimate. I have to put my money where my mouth is. Summer and I ate the other day at this restaurant, this really cool restaurant where Biden had eaten earlier and got in trouble for not wearing a mask at. And someone was like, this is like so like, it makes sense. So someone's like, it'd probably be, you know, like crazy to wait on the president. And I'm like, it wouldn't fucking matter. Fuck that dude. I wouldn't fucking care. I would change. And then that night they're like, yo, the president might come to the show. And I'm like, what? Like, I like immediately just had a 180. I'm like, I guess it does make you a little nervous, even if you don't love him.
Well, we'll see if he comes in for the opener.
Yeah, no, that's the other thing. There's no way he's coming. There's no way he sits for the, there's no way he gets there early and stays for the whole show. He's going to pop in for 30.
Right.
But
if so, yeah. Until, you know, because, you know,
if he comes.
John Oliver is like a nice, he probably in his head has never watched Last Week Tonight and just like, well, he's just, you know, a smart, you know, Democratic, like stand-up comedian. And he's going to get up there, get in there. And then John, I know, I'm sure he doesn't do this anymore, but starts doing Remix to Ignition by R. Kelly, which yeah.
Dude, John, early, did, John did it was, thing. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Early John Oliver, when I opened for him a few times in one of the improvs, and I didn't expect that from him. And that was what was so good. And he knew that. He would talk about how he can't remember certain things, but then he would, but my brain does remember this. And then he would bust out R. Kelly's Ignition in entirety with dance moves. And it was so out of character.
Yeah.
Obvious pandering style of comedy, but awesome. It was pee pants funny.
Dude, he's got this thing he's doing right now where he basically is talking about we all failed and it's fun. About how, you know, like, what did you want to, and he asks an audience, basically, nobody is what they wanted to be when they were five. You know, that's this premise. I'm not giving anything away. And he asks this lady in the front row, like, he asks, he's like, what did you want to be when you were five? And then they find out, he's like, what are you now? Always funny. If, you know, he just, you know, whatever. You know, then it's just a great crowd work bit. And he asks this woman what she wanted to be when she was little. And she said, she wanted to be a doctor. And he's like, well, what are you now? And she goes, I'm a mother. And I was like, how's he going to respond to this? And his like, cause you know, the John Oliver from TV would say, well, the congrats, you know, hey, that's awesome. But the stand-up comedian John Oliver responded with, well, I guess you failed, huh? Like, and it was like, he could go mean or nice. And I was so happy he went mean. And it just was like, yes, John is such a stand-up, like a stand-up will go for the fucking joke over what's right.
He's great. He's a great stand-up comedian.
Yeah, super fun. All right. Well, I got to bounce because I got to go do those shows. I got six more and I'll let you know if the old Prez rolls through.
Oh, yeah. You give me a text. Shoot. Get a selfie. Get a cool selfie.
Yeah, I'll let you know if I was true to my word with about to Summer of like, I wouldn't be nervous. But Jack White did come to a show and I did shit the bed one time. So my president is Jack White, and he came to the show, and I absolutely crumbled.
Right, I'd be more nervous in front of Jack White than Joe Biden.
I was. I did so bad. I did so bad. It sucked. All right, Burns. Anything else you want to promote?
No, man. Everyone should listen to Power Moves with Mike Burns. Brooks is the original co-host, and I'm sure you know that if you listen to this show. But show's still rocking and rolling. Fredo's back in the hot seat. Fredo is doing a fantastic job, Brooks. That's I got to tell you, it's been a delight. And the show's better than ever.
I subscribe and I tune in sometimes when I burn through my wrestling podcast.
Right. I appreciate that.
I don't think you know this. So you understand how this is the level of fame I wanted to get to was now I get to commentate on Iowa wrestling meets for Flow Wrestling.
Oh, that's fabulous.
That's all I ever want. I watch
Iowa
wrestling meets and I'm their Iowa correspondent. It's like, okay, I did it. I succeeded. I go to one website. I go to two websites, CNN.com and flowwrestling.org. I just love it there. And now they've accepted me to work a little bit for them. And it's so fun. It's way more fun than comedy.
It's the little things.
Yeah. It's the best. All right, Burns. Well, I love you, dude. And I'll see you in LA or Michigan soon.
Love you too. Thank you for having me on. Appreciate
it. Bye.